This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life. Will you take your Bibles, please? Turn with us to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. I am continuing with a series of messages entitled, Be Joyful. Be joyful. God has given us many reasons to be joyful. We're going to be looking at some of them this morning. Would you stand with us, please, for the reading of the Word of God? We are in Philippians chapter 2, and I am beginning reading in verse number 1. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I'm going to repeat that. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What was His attitude? Here it is. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place, and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, I thank You this morning that You are King of kings and Lord of lords. I thank You that You reign. You reign, Lord, in heaven. You reign on earth. You reign in our hearts. I thank You, Lord, that Your power knows no limit. And Lord, we pray today that the Word of God would build us, encourage us, strengthen us. If there are any here that do not know You as Savior, before this message is over, they would say yes to You. Come now, speak to us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, you may be seated. We are continuing from the book of Ephesians, a series entitled, Be Joyful. There are notes in your bulletin. I encourage you to take those notes and follow with us this morning as we take the few moments that we have left and share with you from the Word of God. Unity. Unity in families, in businesses, in nations, in churches. Unity is the key to success. And the enemy understands that he can bring defeat by bringing division. Just get a husband and wife at odds with each other, parents and children at odds with each other, nations at odds with each other, churches at odds with each other. In your notes, I have put several things, and we're going to quickly move this morning, but it says strained relationships is one of the major causes of unhappiness. That's true in a family. It's true in a church. It's true in a business. The notes say unity is a key ingredient for success and fulfillment. If you'll go back to verses 1 and 2 of our text, he says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. How many of you can say, Pastor, I have been encouraged by being united with Christ? Does that bring you hope, bring you joy? Sure it does. If any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete and be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. That is the goal that Christ has for us. That is what Christ wants for our families. That's what Christ wants for our church. That's what Christ wants for our nation, because when we become unified in Him, there is a power release that will defeat the gates of hell. Ephesians 4:12 in your note says, though one may be overpowered by another. Pardon me, Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth regarding anything you ask, it will be done. There is awesome power in unity. And quite frankly, that's the reason the enemy, the devil, fights us so hard. Tries to bring husband against wife, parents against children, church member against church member. Because where there is disunity, there is no power. There's power in unity. There is weakness in conflict. Leviticus 26, verse 8 says, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. There is no greater power source than the unity that comes through Christ. The oneness that comes in marriages, that comes in families, that comes in churches. Quickly this morning, I want us to look at five subjects. Number one, we are to defuse competition. Verse 3 in our text says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. The Phillips translation says, never act from motives of rivalry. When we act from motives of rivalry, marriages, businesses, churches are destroyed. Whenever there is a spirit of competition, one with another, trying to put someone up and put someone down, it's going to bring destruction. James 4, and the scripture is in your notes, said, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you do not have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. The way to receive from God is not by doing battle with your brother and sister in Christ or your family or your relatives. The way to receive from Christ is to come before Him and ask for it in humility and in faith. And God will give you whatever you ask. The Word says you will receive because you ask it in faith, because you ask it in the name of Jesus. We have to realize that our true value is who we are in Christ. And it's not by manipulation. It's not by using people. It's not by any type of manipulation that we can conjure in the natural realm. We receive from God when we come in faith and we come in humility. Number two in your note says we need to delete conceit. We need to delete conceit. Again, verse number 3 in our text says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Conceit, our notes tell us, is an unduly high opinion of one's own abilities are worth conceit. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When we think we can do it on our own power, our own ability, God will just come against us to let us know we can't do that. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Advice number one from God's Word. Let the Word of God change you. Let the Word of God adjust you, becoming more like Christ, and then letting God's people speak into our lives. Does that mean that everything they say we have to do? No, but it does mean that I have to say, God, is this truthful? I've had people speak to me, and boy, at the time, I just grew angry. And I got alone before God, and God said they were speaking truth in you. You should have heard it. Letting God adjust us. The three hardest words for most people to utter are, I am wrong. Well, those are tough words. Had to practice them for years before they ever came out. Would you like to practice them with me? Say, I am wrong. I know those are hard words. Say it again. I am wrong. That wrong is just, I mean, whoa, 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 whoa. Be pliable. Be changeable. Let God do a work in you of making you like He is. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And as we do that, we become productive for the kingdom of God. We become usable. We become instruments in His hands that He can use. When Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That takes place as we allow His will to be done in our lives. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. I've said this several times, but it's really a shame that you people didn't know me 20 years ago, because I knew everything 20 years ago. And God has had to teach me I don't know everything. And only by coming to Him in humility will He teach us and direct us and guide us. Number three in your notes is decrease criticism. Verse 3 of our text again says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. When we consider others better than ourselves, we decrease criticism. When we say, Lord, I thank You that You're bringing people into my life to teach me, to guide me, that I can learn from. When I criticize other people, I'm judging them from a position of superiority. I'm playing God. And God doesn't like to be in competition with anybody. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. Let God deal with them. Let God adjust them. My job is to pray for them. My job is to love them. Let God bring about the change in their lives. We think that we are building ourselves up by putting other people down. We're really not. We're violating the principles of God. Number four, we are to demonstrate consideration. Verse 4 in our text said, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. One reason we have problems is that we don't pay attention to other people's needs. We are so focused on our needs being met, so focused on what's in it for me. And Jesus said, as you give, it will be given to you. As you are concerned about others, the needs in their lives, the pain in their lives, and we pray for them and we love them and we encourage them, Jesus said, I'm going to meet your needs. Show consideration with your time, your attention, your understanding, your respect, your affection. And watch God open the windows of heaven in your life. But as long as you're focused on why doesn't somebody love me? Why doesn't somebody meet my needs? Why doesn't somebody care about me? As long as we have that spirit of self-pity, our needs are not going to be met. It's as we give, it will be given to us. And I can promise you, I've had to walk through this where I had to look beyond my own pain, my own circumstances, and say, Lord, let me be a giver. Let me focus on others' needs, not my needs. And as you do that, you're going to be the recipient of grace, of healing, of strength. Number five in your notes says we are to develop Christ-likeness. Develop Christ-likeness. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The NIV, version of that says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. Well, I ask you the question, what was his attitude? You see, God is changing us. How many of you realize God has changed you over the years? Thank God. Mary Jane, he's changing you. He's maturing us. He's making us like Christ. Verse 6 says, who, being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Jesus did not demand his rights from the Father. He recognized he was to be a servant, that he was to ultimately lose his life so that others might have life. But I want you to know something this morning. He may have lost his life temporarily, but he didn't lose his life. He was exalted, given a place above everyone else. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father this morning, making intercession for us. And someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You see, you can't give it away. We are called to be servants. We are called to be light. We are called to be healers. And Jesus did that. Verse 7 in your notes, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Can you imagine Jesus leaving the splendor of glory, being the Son of God, being worshipped, being exalted, being praised, and coming to a dirty, smelly stable in the Middle East where people rejected him and despised him and ultimately crucified him? But he did it because he loved them. He did it because he knew that it was the will of the Father. You see, we have been called to be his representatives. We have been called to be his servants. In verse 7, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men. He had a serving attitude. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are called to be like Christ, are we not? And that means even to the point of losing our lives, maybe losing some of our prestige, maybe losing some of our possessions, but saying, Lord, take me and use me for your glory. How many of you understand that you are not created for your own benefit? You were created that God might use you for His glory. We are here this morning not for our benefit, but for His benefit. He was willing to sacrifice Himself for the benefit of others. He yielded His rights. And when we do that, God assumes our defense. When we say, I lay my life down, I give my life for the purpose of the gospel, my time, my talents, my possessions, they exist for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Invite the Holy Spirit to fill you on a daily basis. We become so entrapped by negative news. Nancy asked me one day this week, would you turn that news off? We turned on a gospel program. Thank you for reminding me. I was so taken up. We need to focus on the things that are eternal. I'm not saying don't watch the news. I'm not saying be ignorant. But I'm saying that we need to balance our lives. Our life does not consist of the things that we possess. Our life does not consist of the things that we see and hear. Our life consists of that which is eternal. And we need to focus on that. Become more like Jesus. More time in His Word. More time in prayer. More time in witness. And then finally, number 6 in your notes, the results of Christ's likeness. I want you to go back to Philippians and I want to read verses 9 through 11. Now, because of what Christ had done, because of Him giving His life and laying it out, not counting the cost, giving Himself. Verse 9 of our text says, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. That day on the cross, it probably appeared to most people, this guy's a loser. Probably Satan is having a field day, Perry, saying, I got him. I'm done now. But on the third day, He came out of that tomb. Death could not hold Him. His eternal purpose was being fulfilled. And I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. The enemy may come against you. It may appear for a season that he's won in your life. He's gotten your health. He's gotten your money. He's gotten your mate. He's gotten your kids. He's gotten whatever it is. But Sunday hadn't come yet. Amen? It's still Friday. It's still Saturday. When Sunday comes, you're going to come forth from that place of defeat. And you're going to walk in the victory that God said was yours. Yes, for a season it looked like Jesus had been defeated. Some of you are walking through some hard places today. I've walked through some hard places recently. I want you to know, my God is able. My God is more than enough. It's not what we walk through. It's who we're holding on to. It's who we're looking to. It's whose name we're depending upon. Look at verse number 10 of that chapter. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. Because Jesus was willing to give his life, lay it down, be humiliated, be condemned, be beaten, to suffer for a season, God's purpose could come forth in his life. Now, some of you have gone through some hard places. You've been rejected by family, by friends. You've gone through health issues. You've gone through financial issues. And it looks like God has forgotten. It looks like there's no hope. No. God's purposes are eternal. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will never pass away. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Say, when's that going to happen, Pastor? It'll happen when the rapture takes place. It'll happen when Jesus returns to this earth. And even those who are unbelievers are going to say, I believe. Amen? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. I want you to know today, we are on the winning end. Don't you ever let the devil tell you that we are a persecuted minority, that we're losing. No, we are those that God has called to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. We are those that have been called by God to exercise His power and authority through our words and through our prayers. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And I don't know what you're going through today. I just know that some of you are going through some stuff. How many of you are going through stuff this morning? And you know what the stuff is. Lord, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. Lord, when you came for our sin, our sickness, our sorrow, our pain. Lord, today you are the God who is more than enough. You are the God who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. By the authority of the name of Jesus, I release healing and wholeness today. Lord, we lift our eyes unto the hill from which come our help. Our help comes from the Lord. We're not looking to man. We're not looking to the world system. We're looking to our God who is able today to do exceeding and above all we ask or think. I thank you, Jesus, that you love us. You loved us before the foundation of the world. You called us. And Lord, you have a purpose and you have a plan. We are a part of that purpose and plan. That plan is going to end in absolute victory. It's going to end with every knee bowing, every tongue confessing. So until then, we just continue to praise you, thank you. Know that you're going to bring us through the storm. You're going to bring us through the battle. In Jesus' name. This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated,
and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.